Good evening. I'm Sarah Roth, digital investigative reporter at KGW in Portland. I'm also a member of the Society of Professional Journalists, Oregon Territory. On behalf of SPJ, I'd like to welcome you to the gubernatorial debate between Democratic incumbent Kate Brown and her Republican challenger, Dr. Bud Pierce. This is the first debate among the candidates for Oregon governor. The Oregon Territory of the Society of Professional Journalists is proud to partner with the East Oregonian, the Bend Bulletin, KTVZ, and Jefferson Public Radio to bring this debate to you. This debate will focus on issues important to rural Oregon, and the sponsors of this debate are all rural media outlets. These outlets play a vital role in their respective communities. We have a panel of journalists who will direct questions to the candidates. We will not take questions from the audience and ask for applause to be kept to a minimum, but we do encourage you to weigh in on social media using the hashtag SPJDebate. Let's meet our panelists. Eric Lukens is editor of the Bulletin newspaper in Bend. Emily Curitan is a producer and host for Jefferson Public Radio in Ashland. Tim Trainer is editorial page editor of the East Oregonian newspaper in Pendleton. And Pedro Quintana is a reporter with KTVZ in Bend. Now let's meet the candidates. Each candidate will get 90 seconds for opening statements. We will begin with Governor Brown. Kate Brown is the governor of Oregon. Previously, she served as Oregon's Secretary of State. Brown is a former family law attorney who worked in the state legislature for 17 years. Governor Brown, your opening statement.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for coming out tonight on such a gorgeous evening. I really appreciate your time and energy. It's been an incredible honor to serve as your governor for these past 19 months. I'm so proud of the work we've been able to do together. I want to share with you my vision for Oregon. I believe we can create an Oregon where everyone can thrive. And we can do that by improving educational outcomes for all of our children, by creating a seamless system of education so all of our students can graduate with a plan for their future. Secondly, we must invest in our roads and bridges and mass transit so people can get to work safely and products can get to market effectively and efficiently. And third, we must work together to preserve the beauty and bounty of Oregon. Future generations will judge us not on the fact of global climate change, but what we do to tackle it. And under my strong leadership, we will continue the progress we've made so far. I've been so pleased over the progress we've made over the last 18 months. We have created the nation's first automatic voter registration system because in Oregon, we believe that your vote is your voice and every single voice matters. We also passed the nation's first coal to clean, moving Oregon off of coal-generated electricity. There's much more work to be done. I look forward to working with you to move Oregon forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Brown. Dr. Bud Pierce is an oncology physician who works in Salem. A former U.S. Marine, Dr. Pierce has a PhD in experimental pathology. This is his first general election race for office. Dr. Pierce, your opening statement.
Thank you very much. I am Bud Pierce, Republican candidate for governor of Oregon. And I appreciate everyone being out tonight. When you give Governor Brown and myself your time, you give us your most valuable possession. So thank you for coming out. A few things about me. I'm not that well known. Even though I'm a successful cancer doctor, I'm a janitor's kid. Grew up in a small farming town. Worked as a bag boy and as an orderly. And right in this chest beats a blue-collar heart. So I will never forget where I've come from, and I will continue to remember the other blue-collar kids. I'm a Marine. I say what I mean. I mean what I say. I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do, and I leave no one behind. And I'm not going to leave rural Oregon behind when I serve as your governor. We face immense challenges, not enough jobs, not enough well-paying jobs, educations and schools that fail too many of our children, homelessness increasing, mentally ill not being treated. On my right is Governor Kate Brown, a 25-year career politician who has grown distant from the people and rarely visits the rural area. I look forward to a spirited debate.
Thank you, Dr. Pierce. Tonight's debate will consist of four rounds. The rounds will feature important themes for rural Oregonians: the economy, land use, the urban-rural divide, and a fourth round where panelists can ask questions on the topics of their choice. Our first round will focus on the economy. Each candidate will be asked a question by one of our panelists. Candidates will have 60 seconds to answer the question. If warranted, the candidates will also get a 30-second rebuttal. Eric Lukens, you get the first question for Governor Kate Brown.
Governor, some of the most significant pieces of legislation you've signed into law have been opposed by cornerstone rural industries like farming and ranching. Examples include the hike in Oregon's minimum wage and the implementation of the low carbon fuel standard. Such policies raise the cost of doing business and erode the ability of Oregon farmers and ranchers to compete in national and international markets. What have you done to address this competitiveness problem during your tenure as governor, and what do you plan to do if elected to the position in November?
In my first visit out of the valley in Oregon, I met with Pendleton ranchers and farmers and learned that they needed more funding for water infrastructure. That's exactly what I did. I delivered a bonding package so that ranchers could get the water they needed out of the Columbia, grow crops, and create more jobs. As you know, we had an issue with tax assessments for our centers, and I fought to make sure that the regulations were implemented in a way that our data centers could grow and thrive in Central Oregon. But I will not apologize for fighting for working families and working to increase the minimum wage and making sure that over 100,000 Oregonians could have more money in their pockets. I think that's how we improve the lives of Oregon families and make sure that we can grow and thrive in every single corner of the state.
Thank you. Emily Curitan, you get the next question for Dr. Pierce.
Dr. Pierce, marijuana is legal in Oregon, but people's views about it vary greatly in rural areas. Some people want to ban it, others would like to grow it, and are growing it. But because of federal law, conventional banking isn't possible for those in the industry, and neither are tax credits. You've said that supporting small business development is key to growing Oregon's economy. Do you think the marijuana industry is good for rural Oregon, and how do you propose making a more consistent regulatory structure for it?
So again, I believe that the law passed about marijuana, including allowing counties and local communities to decide and hold a vote to make a decision, is a solid one. It's about local control. So I think that the law is well-crafted and is being carried out. I do believe that we need to make a movement in the banking industry so that, again, we can have the full measure of law applied to the marijuana industry. We should not have a cash based business. There's all kinds of chance for corruption and money laundering. So I am interested in working with our federal delegation to trying to move legislation through Congress to allow states like Oregon to proceed with a regulated industry that makes sense. We need lots of research in marijuana to know its safety, its medical use, and how it impacts human lives. So we proceed with the will of the voters, which is to allow marijuana roll out in a controlled way with local control, and we turn to science to find out the safety and how it can really be used.
Tim Traynor, you get the next question for Governor Brown.
Governor Brown, Measure 97 will go to voters in November and will have a significant impact on the Oregon economy. Yet wages are lower in the rural parts of the state, and increases in the cost of basic goods and services hits harder. You support 97. How would you convince a rural voter to do the same?
Thank you. Well, I'm supporting ballot measure 97 for three reasons. Number one, we need adequate revenue for key basic services like schools and health care for seniors. Secondly, there are no other viable options on the table. And third, it's time that corporations pay their fair share. So I would ask Oregonians all across the state, do you think our school year is long enough? Do you think our classroom sizes are small enough? Do you think it's okay to kick 400,000 Oregonians off the Oregon Health Plan? Do you think it's okay to kick seniors out of their homes because we can't afford to fund programs like Project Independence? I do not. That's why I'm supporting ballot measure 97, because I think it will support families all across the state of Oregon and bring tax fairness to our state for the first time in decades.
Dr. Pierce, do you agree with Governor Brown?
Absolutely disagree. Measure 97 will cost the Oregon private economy 38,000 to 40,000 jobs, increase the cost of living for every Oregon family by $600. I can't accept it on increasing the cost of living and losing private sector jobs. I'm preparing a $20.6 billion funds budget that will, in fact, address the needs of Oregon without raising additional taxes and fees on Oregonians. The issue before us is, can government learn to live within its means, or does it always need more money? An increase in the last general funds budget of $18.5 billion to $20.6 billion is enough.
Thank you. Emily Curitan, you get the next question for Governor Brown.
Governor Brown, many Oregon tribes have signed treaties with the U.S. government, and most of these treaties have been largely disregarded over the last century. What does tribal sovereignty mean to you, and how would you improve the economic outlook for Native people in Oregon, their reservations, and the resources on ancestral tribal lands?
I've had the incredible honor to work with Oregon's 9 federally recognized tribes in my 17 years in the legislature. I served on the Commission on Indian Services. So I worked with the tribes to advocate for them and with them. And we used a number of tools to ensure economic self-sufficiency and self-determination. Sovereignty to me means that they are their own nations, and that's exactly how we have treated them as the state of Oregon. I've been very pleased about the legislation we've passed to ensure that we create government-to-government relationships with the tribes. Number 2, ensuring that we get rid of discriminatory names in Oregon's geographic features. And thirdly, to ensure that tribal members can teach their native languages in public schools across the state. And I was so pleased to see at Umatilla in the Pendleton School District, the early childhood learning program, where students, kindergartners, were learning native tribal language, white and Indian, coming together to learn a language, to share a culture, and preserve a very important culture.
Thank you. Pedro Quintana, you get the next question for Dr. Pierce.
Dr. Pierce, suffering economies in rural Oregon are often framed around environmental regulations. On the Deschutes River, for example, farmers downstream of the Oregon spotted frog habitat are worried about not having enough water if lawsuits succeed in altering the flows. Dr. Pierce, what can the state government do to protect agricultural economies?
So it's about a dual mandate for regulatory agencies. And when you think about the Federal Reserve banking system, a dual mandate for regulatory agencies is satisfy the important regulations and then make sure what you're regulating thrives. And what that requires us to do, again, is to work together and come up with common sense regulations. Regarding the water situation, the important issues are frugal use of water. You can copy best practices from Israel, and California, frankly, has gone through a 6-year drought, and you try to get as much water on the plants as possible, and recharge your groundwater supplies. And that really means when it's raining and the flows are heavy and the surface water is flowing off, find ways to recharge the aquifer and store it in a more permanent reservoir, surface water storage. But again, it's about a dual mandate. We've learned a lot about the environment. We learned a lot about an agriculturally based economy. We can protect the economy and have a great agriculture. And we have agency leaders and a governor who believes in that. We can thrive and have a great environment.
Thank you. Pedro, you get the next question for Governor Brown.
Governor Brown, the unemployment rate in rural areas like Prineville is higher than the state average, despite high-tech companies like Apple moving into the area. How can the state make sure their workforce is properly trained? And what can the state do to bring back more manufacturing jobs to the rural communities here in Central Oregon?
Thank you. Well, every business owner that I have talked to, both rural Oregon and urban Oregon, says the biggest challenge facing them as employers is a skilled and qualified workforce. That's why the work we did this last year to double our investments in career and technical education and STEAM, science, technology, engineering, math, will give our students more tools. It will awaken them to the power of their own potential and make sure that we create a diverse and educated and skilled workforce. Secondly, we need to make sure that we have the infrastructure to bring businesses in, including manufacturing businesses. That means having safe roads to travel on, a transloader facility in Ontario, and making sure the Medford Viaduct is prepared in the event of an earthquake event. And then thirdly, we need to make sure that we invest in our innovative technologies. Two innovative technologies that we've invested in since I became governor, cross-laminated timber and unmanned aerial vehicles. This is a great opportunity to grow the economy throughout rural Oregon.
Thank you. Tim Trainer, you get the next question for Dr. Pierce.
Many rural Oregon economies are shrinking, and their populations are too. You've said the key to increasing the livability and viability of these areas is returning people, especially young, educated people, to some of the most remote parts of our state, where there are few jobs and opportunities. How would you do that?
So we need to bring back the natural resource-based economy. Timber is the greatest resource of for Oregon. We have 800 million board feet that we could harvest from the Blue Mountain. We have on the O&C lands, over a billion board feet. We need to develop a research center that will go far beyond cross-laminated timber and cross-laminated plywood to develop new products that can be used throughout the world, and they need to come from Oregon. In terms of business stimulation, we need to have the more support for entrepreneurs. That could include tax credits, better loan guarantees, and enterprise zones, where as you improve the value of your property, you have a tax abatement. Google and Facebook get incredibly cheap energy from Bonneville that other Oregon businesses do not get. They get incredible tax breaks and advantages, and I am determined to give those same advantages to everyday Oregonian businesses, not just to the 1% that are connected to government.
That concludes our first round.